Land purchases by the Oneida Nation are being challenged in a federal lawsuit. It's Tuesday, February 27th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Joe Schultz has the details on why Wisconsin's wildfire season is starting earlier this year. And Wisconsin has new legislative maps. Rich Kramer will have the latest on what this means for voters. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today is a perfect way to stay current on Wisconsin news, including headlines with context from around the state. It's your support that makes it possible. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A federal lawsuit in Brown County is challenging land purchases by the Oneida Nation on its own reservation. As Rob Mentzer reports, the northeastern Wisconsin village of Hobart says the purchases threaten its existence.
Hobart is almost entirely within the boundaries of the Oneida Reservation. For decades, the Oneida Nation has been purchasing reservation land that had previously been owned by non-native residents. Hobart can't tax land that belongs to the Oneida. Now the village is suing in federal court to keep taxing authority over about 500 acres recently purchased by the tribe. Hobart says the purchases put the village on a path to, quote, extinction. It claims the federal process for removing the properties from the tax rolls is unconstitutional. In a response filed this month, the Oneida Nation said many of the village's legal claims have already been rejected. In 2020, a federal appeals court ruled against the village after it sought to charge activity fees for tribal events on the reservation. Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A bipartisan proposal to give Wisconsin clerks extra time to process absentee ballots is effectively dead in the legislature. Advocates say the proposal would help large cities like Milwaukee get through Election Day more efficiently and prevent late-night vote tallying. Senator Dan Knodel of Germantown chairs the Senate Elections Committee. He told WISN-TV this week that he will not bring the bill up for a committee vote.
I still need to see another cycle to run, to have the confidence that Milwaukee has got their central count in order. And just not the right time to add a new process, a whole new day, to process ballots in a presidential.
The bill passed the GOP-held assembly, and Governor Tony Evers had previously said that he would have signed it. In 2020, Milwaukee had a record number of absentee ballots. The city didn't finish processing until the middle of the night, and that helped fuel debunked conspiracy theories of so-called ballot dumping for President Joe Biden. A new redevelopment project in Milwaukee will combine crisis beds for the homeless and permanent affordable housing units under the same roof. Local officials say it's the first project of its kind in Wisconsin. Milwaukee County is paying a developer $1 million to redevelop an existing building. It'll have 21 affordable apartments and 20 crisis units. At a press conference, County Executive David Crowley said the goal is to get more people into permanent housing.
When folks are experiencing emergency housing situations and dealing with trauma, this will be a safe, accessible place for them to come to. And when people arrive, supportive services and staff will be available here to help them heal, access resources, and look to a brighter future.
Construction is set to start in late June. There are currently about 60 crisis beds in the county. Wisconsin's wildfire season is getting an early start this year. As Joe Schultz reports, that's because of the lack of snow in what's been an unseasonably warm winter.
The DNR is asking residents to avoid burning because of high fire danger across the state. The agency responded to 15 wildfires burning 30 acres last weekend alone. Since the start of the year, the department has tracked over 50 wildfires. The 10-year average over the same period is 3 wildfires burning 2 acres. Catherine Cooley is with the DNR.
98% of our fires are caused by people, so it's no surprise that the majority of these fires are caused by debris burning.
Last year, there were drought conditions across Wisconsin during much of the summer. That led to a busy fire season with more than 1,000 fires burning almost 5,000 acres. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, Wisconsin has new legislative maps, so what does that exactly mean for voters? I'll be chatting with WPR's Rich Kramer on how this major decision could shape the political future of the entire state. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
For the first time in more than 50 years, Wisconsin's legislature and governor have reached a bipartisan agreement on new legislative district maps. After court battles, threats of impeaching a state Supreme Court justice, and a proposal to create a nonpartisan redistricting process, Republican lawmakers eventually passed maps that were proposed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. WPR reporter Rich Kramer joins me now to talk about what this could mean for Wisconsinites and future elections in the state. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so these new maps could potentially shift the balance of political power in the state legislature. What do they mean for the large Republican majorities? Let's start with the Assembly, and then we'll talk about the Senate.
In short, redistricting experts that have analyzed the maps using past election data say that there's a slight tilt in Republicans' favor overall with these maps, but the party that gets the most votes, they say, will win the most seats in the legislature. And that really hasn't been the case in Wisconsin since 2011, when Republicans drew maps that have helped them achieve a near supermajority in the Assembly. So using 2022 election results, Marquette University Law School researcher John Johnson said there are around 48 Assembly seats either strongly or slightly favoring Democrats and 53 seats strongly or slightly favoring Republicans. So to win an Assembly majority in November, Johnson says Democrats would need to flip 7 seats with a slight Republican lean.
So what do things look like in the state Senate for Democrats and a potential flip of power with the new legislative districts in that House?
Well, since only half of Wisconsin's Senate seats are up for election this year, Johnson said he sees almost no chance of Democrats winning a majority there in November. But he said if they pick off a few seats, the majority could be in play in 2026. Still, he said a person could bet real money that Democrats will end Republicans' supermajority in the Senate this November. But he stressed overall that the 2022 election data is not meant to predict the future.
Are there certain regions of the state where more districts are now going to be considered more competitive with these new maps, Rich?
Absolutely. So for the Assembly, Johnson pointed to the 61st Assembly District in Milwaukee's suburbs, the 88th Assembly District, 89th District in the Green Bay area, the 85th District in Wausau, and the 30th District in Hudson. Those are seats that Johnson said could potentially be seen as flippable by Democrats, and they might be targeted. For the state Senate, Johnson said the 14th District, northwest of Madison, the 18th district in the Fox Valley, and the 30th Senate district in Green Bay are also potential targets.
Now that those maps are different, do we expect to see a lot of new candidates deciding to jump into politics because of this?
We sure could. It could result in more contested elections in both houses. A legal brief filed by attorneys representing the Republican-controlled legislature say there's 35 Republicans that have been drawn out of their districts and paired with other GOP incumbents under Evers' maps. The same will happen to just 8 Democratic lawmakers. So even when supporting Evers' maps, when they passed them, Republicans said this is proof of gerrymandering. It's proof that Evers went out of his way to pair Republicans together. But redistricting experts hired by the Supreme Court's liberal majority said it's simple math. The current maps made many more Republican districts, generated more Republican wins, so naturally, they say there would be more Republicans drawn together.
Rich, this can be kind of confusing for the average voter. So we're talking about state legislative districts with the state assembly and the state senate, but there is another possible lawsuit working its way through that would be about congressional districts, right? Can you give us an update on what's going on there?
I can try. So that lawsuit was filed by this high-powered Democratic law firm called Elias Law Group. And they're essentially saying that the congressional maps need to change as well because of an illegal approach that was used by the Supreme Court's former conservative majority. that has since been overruled by the court's new liberal majority. But really, in short, what it means is if the court were to agree to take this lawsuit up, they would have to move very quickly. So right now I'm waiting for the court to say whether or not they're going to hear this case.
So in terms of what the average voter needs to know, it boils down to the state maps are in place right now for the state assembly and for the state senate. When it comes to congressional maps, the state Supreme Court hasn't even taken up or decided whether they would hear a case on that. So as far as this upcoming election goes right now, the current representatives, those current districts will all still be the same.
Yeah, as of right now. So the state maps, we've got new maps that will go into effect for the November election. There's still some questions about the state legislative maps, which maps should be used in the before November. But the congressional maps are the same. Nothing has changed there, and nothing will change unless the court gets involved and says, yes, we're going to hear this case. We're going to consider what to do about these maps.
Rich Kramer here of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for helping us make sense of all this. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Mallory Chang and John Davis were the people putting the show together behind the scenes today. We'll be in that podcast feed again tomorrow morning and every single weekday afterwards. So have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.